Welcome to Voter Information, the show that looks at elections in the city, the state, and the nation. This is your election guru, Mark Braun here. Glad you could join us today. And I remind you, you're listening to a recording provided for the use of those who are blind or print impaired. Materials or items within AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. You got it? Good. All right, so this is going to be presidential stuff this week. And we do have some articles with regards to the any upcoming presidential election, and we're actually going to start off with an article from a publication called the Asbury Park Press, and this is called "Presidential Betting Odds: J.D. Vance, Josh Shapiro Favorites to Win 2028 Election" by Joe Mason for January 28, 2025. As President Donald Trump starts the second week of his second term, it's never too early to start to look ahead. Who is the next to replace the president? Betting odds aren't just a way to make money. They're also a great way to see who has the best chance at becoming president down the line. While betting odds on the 2024 election fluctuated at times, Trump held the edge for most of the election cycle and went on to win the election. Obviously, these odds can and almost certainly will change. Good news for Trump fans. He might not be able to win again, but right now his second in command has a huge edge in winning the White House, according to betting site Odds Checker. J.D. Vance is a huge favorite, coming in at +285. He is a distant favorite over Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, who was at 1,650 +1,650. Other favorites include Gavin Newsom at +2,300. Gretchen Whitmer +2,700, Pete Buttigieg +2,700, and Mark Kelly +3,300. If you believe in betting odds, Republicans will keep the White House. They are at -137.5 to win. Democrats come in at +120. If you think an independent is going to win, you could really clean up. Independents are at +10,000. Next presidential election will be held November 7, 2028. The 2029 presidential inauguration will be held on January 20th, 2029. It falls on a Saturday. That's presidential betting odds, J.D. Vance, Josh Shapiro favorites to win in 2028 election from the Asbury Park Press by Joe Mason for January 28, 2025. And here is something from a publication called the Association for Mature American Citizens, their website amac.us. This is called Polls: Kamala Harris Laps Democrat Primary Field for 2028. The author is unknown, and but this was for Wednesday, February 26, 2025. Oh yes, it's by Camden Mulder. Excuse me. After a dumpster fire of an election season for Democrats in 2024, losing the presidency, the House, and the Senate, conversations about who will emerge from the pack to challenge Republicans for the White House in 2028 have already begun. Kamala Harris, the former vice president and the unduly anointed 2024 Democratic presidential nominee, currently stands apart as the 2028 frontrunner. Even after President Donald Trump overwhelmed Harris this past November, multiple polls are reporting that she would lead the liberal pack should she decide to run again in 2028. According to an Echelon Insights poll of 447 likely voters out earlier this month, the former vice president received 36% of support in a prospective field of 18 candidates, by far the top vote getter. Former Transportation Secretary and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg came in a distant second at 10%, followed by Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, 9%, California Governor Gavin Newsom, 6%, and New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, 5%. Two other polls from JL Partners and McLaughlin and Associates found similar results, with Harris leading the field at 30% and 35%, respectively. Both polls also had Buttigieg in second with less than 10% support. These numbers are significantly higher than any primary support Harris received in the past. According to Real Clear Polling, Harris's peak during the 2020 primary was 5.5% in November of 2019, just 1 month before she dropped out of the race entirely following a dramatic collapse in support. Despite the fact that, as NPR reported, Harris was initially among the top tier of candidates in both polling and fundraising, she withdrew 2 months before the Iowa caucuses. Harris's 2024 bid for the presidency was even more disastrous. Her $1,107,000 campaign, the shortest in history, was a total failure. She lost every swing state to Donald Trump and, perhaps even more embarrassingly, performed worse than Biden in every state that both she and Biden won. Democrat voters made clear that they had no interest in Harris in 2020, and the American people seconded that notion in 2024. That Harris is still a front runner to be the Democrats' nominee in 2028 should thus be setting off alarm bells within the Democrat Party apparatus, both about the party's unwillingness to change course and about its lack of political talent to draw on the years ahead. Of course, Harris may decide that she has had enough of the national spotlight and stick to her home state of California, where she has had far more electoral success. Speculation is already swirling about a gubernatorial campaign in the Golden State to fill the seat of Governor Gavin Newsom, who is term limited. Harris is currently a front runner in that race as well, with almost 60% support in a hypothetical primary. Should Harris decide to run for governor, it would theoretically leave Buttigieg as the favorite for the presidential ticket. Although with less than 10% support, it would still be anyone's ballgame. Buttigieg did last longer than Harris in the 2020 Democratic primary, earning 26 delegates before the abrupt end of his campaign following the 2020 South Carolina primary. But his tenure as Secretary of Transportation, particularly his lackluster response to the toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, leaves plenty of reason for voters to doubt his ability to serve as president. The candidate with perhaps the most room to rise is Gavin Newsom. As Biden faltered last summer following his debate against Trump, some media reports suggested that Newsom was angling behind the scenes to box out Kamala Harris to secure the nomination for himself, or at least to force a contested primary. Newsom ultimately denied those rumors and threw his support behind Harris, but it's no secret that the California governor has his eye on the Oval Office. With plenty of connections to wealthy California donors and a relatively weak primary field, Newsom likely sees plenty of opportunity for himself in 2028. As the leader of the nation's largest state, he is one of the most recognizable state-level politicians in the country. Another possible scenario, however, is that Democrats' 2020 nominee is not even on the radar of political analysts. 10% of likely voters in the Echelon Insights poll said they were unsure of whom they would vote for if the Democratic primary was held today. It is worth noting that in February of 2005, Barack Obama was just getting settled into his office as a first-term senator from Illinois. In February of 2013, Donald Trump was still focused on growing his business and real estate empire. Few could have imagined more than 3 years before a presidential election that either man would be on his way to the Oval Office. Nonetheless, Democrats have some big leadership questions to answer in the months ahead. The 2024 election was a lesson in the perils of nominating a far-left candidate, one that, if these polls are in any indication, Democrats have not yet seemed to learn. That was Polls, Kamala Harris Laps Democrat Primary Field for 2028 by Camden Mulder from the Association of Mature American Citizens at website amac.us for Wednesday, February 26, 2025. Camden Mulder is a senior at Hillsdale College pursuing a degree in American Studies and Journalism. You can follow her on X at Camden Mulder at x.com/CamdenMulder. Here's another one from a site called ACLJ.org, and that's the American Center for Law and Justice. This is called Big Moves for the 2028 Election Underway by Logan Sekulow, March 13, 2025. It appears as if California Governor Gavin Newsom and former First Lady Michelle Obama are making moves to prepare for a 2028 presidential election run. Newsom hosted Turning Point's Charlie Kirk on his new podcast. This is Gavin Newsom to appear on to moderates and conservatives. Michelle also launched her own podcast, IMO with Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson. Yes, just 2 months into President Trump's second presidency, we're already discussing who will be running in 2028. Now, it's worth pointing out that neither side will have an incumbent candidate, which doesn't happen often. I know it feels early, but recall that Trump announced his candidacy in November 2022, so we're only about 24 months away from other candidates making similar presidential bids. The far-left candidates are already starting to make moves and not being subtle about their intentions. However, you'll probably have to wait a while to hear from GOP candidates. Of course, Vice President J.D. Vance is the frontrunner, but other candidates will start to pop up around the same time he announces. Interestingly enough, Newsom and Michelle are picking up steam by trying to appeal to moderate voters. They know they can't run on a radical platform as Vice President Kamala Harris did. And even though their policies might be ultra-left and woke, their public personas will try to convince otherwise. Now, Newsom might have a horrible track record in California, but he's done very well in keeping his name relevant in public consciousness. For instance, he did the debate with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that Fox News' Sean Hannity moderated, and Newsom often converses with people he disagrees with. E.g., recent podcast guests have included Charlie Kirk, Michael Savage, and Steve Bannon, which is not something you often see with the left. Many far-left pundits want Michelle to run because they think she's a slam-dunk choice. She's still beloved by much of the American public, and she's got the name recognition of being married to the most popular living former U.S. president, according to a Gallup news poll. She would definitely be a strong candidate for her party. I also find it fascinating that these candidates are embracing new forms of media. Instead of only going on CNN or MSNBC, Michelle and Newsom are hosting podcasts and will likely hit the podcast circuit in the days ahead, much like Trump and Vance famously did with Joe Rogan's podcast and VP Harris did not. The audience reach is vastly larger in new media than in legacy media. And it's smart for Michelle and Newsom to keep their names in the news while distancing themselves from the Democrats in Congress who embarrass themselves publicly at Trump's speech. As a result of having conservatives on his podcast, Newsom is getting negative headlines from within his state. But what does that do come election time? It allows Newsom to portray himself as a moderate who distanced himself from radical leftists in California. It's savvy on his part, and low-information voters will eat it up. And Kirk fully recognizes the danger that Newsom poses to the GOP. After appearing on Newsom's podcast, Kirk shared his show is a charm offensive, a calculated play, a rebrand for a man who knows the Democratic Party took a beating in 2024 and needs a new face. He hopes that by looking moderate on the perfect cocktail of issues, he can both get liberals to back him in a primary and the moderates and Republicans to back him in a general election. It might work. One thing I learned in my podcast experience, the governor isn't a joke. He has a shark's instinct and is hoping that voters will have a goldfish's memory. We must ensure that the American public doesn't have a goldfish's memory about Newsom's record. The far left's failed policies during the Biden administration or the ongoing unconstitutional targeting by the deep state. For example, the deep state is openly shredding classified records. At USAID, the ACLJ just filed an FOIA request to USAID to stop the deep state's illegal tactics. We will be prepared to file a lawsuit if necessary. Today's Siculo broadcast included a full analysis of California Governor Gavin Newsom and former First Lady Michelle Obama likely preparing for a 2028 presidential run. Tybalt Vanden Bosch, an advocacy officer for the persecuted Christians at the ECLJ, the ACLJ's European affiliate, informed us of the ECLJ's response to the massacre of 70 Christians in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And that was big moves for the 2028 election underway by Logan Sekulo for ACLJ.org, American Center for Law and Justice, March 13, 2025. Logan Sekulo is the director of media for ACLJ. He is an award-winning filmmaker, producer, radio show host, and podcaster. All right, this is something from a site called Bring Me the News. And this is called Governor Tim Walz launching town hall tour in Republican House districts. Walz is planning stops in Iowa, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Ohio in the coming weeks, by Tommy Witta from March 13, 2025. Governor Tim Walz is planning stops at House districts across the United States represented by Republicans who have stopped holding down town halls due to ongoing backlash to federal cuts by President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk. Walz announced the tour of red states on Wednesday with a significant indicator that he intends to run for president in 2028 after his time as Kamala Harris's running mate in 2024. Walz is planning stops beginning on Friday in Iowa's 3rd District, which is represented by Representative Zach Nunn, and will then head to Nebraska's 2nd District, home to Representative Don Bacon, according to national media reports. His office also has stops planned in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Ohio as well. I'm going to go out there and make sure folks down in Iowa know that their Representative Nunn doesn't want to come talk to them, but he voted for this stuff, Walz said during an appearance on MSNBC. He voted to defund these things. He voted to make it impossible to talk to the VA and cut 70,000 people to care for our veterans. By the way, many of those 70,000 are veterans themselves. So I think, again, this is us going out and talking to people, making the case that people are absolutely clear that both parties are not the same. One stands with Elon Musk, the billionaires, and the dismantling of America as we know it, and one that's going to be there for families. And if we're not out there, Donald Trump, all the podcasts, all the money will fill that void. I hope people show up and at that town hall and say, look, Governor, what are you offering? Are you offering anything better? That's fair. But to turn your back and not do it, it's dangerous. But Walz's announcement has drawn criticism from Republicans in Minnesota, with State Representative Zach Duckworth accusing him of abandoning Minnesota at a time when it is facing a $6 billion budget deficit by 2029. All great selfless leaders leave their job during its most critical moments, like solving a $6 billion deficit they created, he said. Abandoning Minnesota mid-session, when the real work is about to begin, is publicly admitting you're not needed and have no interest in actually governing. It's been reported that Republican representatives have been advised by NRCC Chairperson Representative Stephen Richard Hudson to not hold town halls going forward due to backlash over the Trump administration's policies. It follows a series of high-profile confrontations at Republican town halls held across the U.S., which saw representatives assailed by local residents angry by the scale and severity of the cuts and layoffs being imposed by the administration and the Department of Government Efficiency led by Musk. Walz reacted to the NRCC's order on Twitter, suggesting that he would host an event for a district a Republican currently holds to gain more support for Democrats. That's a shame. If your Republican representative won't meet with you because their agenda is so unpopular, maybe a Democrat will, Walz says. Hell, maybe I will. If your congressman refuses to meet, I'll come host an event in their district to help local Democrats beat them. Walz later told CNN he had been overwhelmed by the response to that tweet, saying his staff has been sifting through hundreds of invitations from local party leaders and candidates asking him to come. Outside of Vermont, Senator Bernie Sanders, who has been holding events in Republican districts for the past several weeks, knew other major Democratic leaders have done the same. Minnesota currently has four congressional districts controlled by Republicans. Representative Brad Finstad in the 1st Congressional District, Representative Tom Emmer in the 6th Congressional District, Representative Michelle Fischbach in the 7th Congressional District, and Representative Pete Stauber in the 8th Congressional District. It is unclear if Walz intends to visit any, some, or all of the districts during his tour. The Minnesota governor told CNN he intends to tell voters that it doesn't have to be this way, referencing this week's move by the administration to slash the U.S. Department of Education in half. On Wednesday, Walz called out the Trump administration's firing of nearly half the Department of Education, saying it will have a detrimental impact on children. "This is undermining our economic well-being for the future. It's undermining our competitive advantage, and it's undermining the moral authority that every child truly matters. So what Donald Trump continues to do is the idiocy of whatever he thinks at the same time is a good talking point," Walz said during a Democratic governor's call he held on Wednesday. That was Governor Tim Walz launching town hall tour in Republican House districts by Tommy Witta from bringmethenews.com for March 13, 2025. All right, now here is something from newsweek.com, and this is called "The 2028 Democratic Field is Coming into View" by Andrew Stanton, weekend staff writer, published March 13, 2025. Democrats rumored to be considered a 2028 presidential run are further fueling speculation that they may jump into the race to win the White House. The first votes of the 2020 Democratic primary won't be cast until about 3 years from now, but candidates may already be making early moves to carve out their lane in what could be a crowded field. Whoever emerges from the primary will be tasked with leading a party that has struggled a bit since their 2024 loss. Democrats remain deeply divided about their ideological direction the party should follow going forward, and elected Democrats are coming under increasing scrutiny from the base amid concerns they aren't doing enough to oppose President Donald Trump's policies. Candidates aren't likely to make official announcements until closer to 2028. If history is any indicator, most will announce after the midterms, but some are already taking early steps to build up their national game recognition, and some of their recent moves have fueled speculation about the presidential race. Kostas Panagopoulos, a professor of political science at Northeastern University, told Newsweek on Thursday that while it may seem early, candidates need time to mount a presidential campaign and build a base of support and donors. Getting a head start in a presidential race can be beneficial to staking out early positions and warding off other serious challengers who may be on the fence, he said. But they have to weigh that against the possibility of peaking too early and creating the space for alternatives to enter the race later in the game that may excite the electorate, he added. Potential candidates may also fill a leadership vacuum Democrats face at the moment, as the opposition to Trump thus far has been scattered, Panagopoulos said. Here's a look at some of the potential candidates for the 2028 presidential election. Former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, who rose to national prominence during his 2020 presidential bid, announced on Thursday that he is not running for Senate in Michigan, a decision some believe indicates he may have his eyes set on 2028. In a Substack post, Buttigieg wrote he considered running for the upper chamber, but opted not to do so, as Michigan already has several Democrats who could make strong candidates. "While my own plans don't include running for office in 2026, I am intensely focused on consolidating, communicating, and supporting this kind of vision," he wrote. "For years, I have argued that the decisions made by elected leaders matter entirely because of how they shape our everyday lives, and that the choices made in this decade will determine for the rest of our lifetimes the American people's access to freedom, security, and democracy." He wrote that he feels more motivated than ever to contribute to the future of this country and will be spending the coming months engaging both legacy and digital media in the service of a politics of everyday life rooted in the values of freedom, security, and democracy. Poll suggests Buttigieg is popular with Democratic voters, and his stint as transportation secretary kept him in the news over the past few years. Surveys also found that he would start in a strong position if he chooses to run, as he consistently places second behind former Vice President Kamala Harris in recent surveys. California Governor Gavin Newsom, who leads the largest state in the country, has long been floated as a potential presidential candidate. His recent podcast, which features conservative guests ranging from Steve Bannon to Charlie Kirk, has added to speculation he might be trying to extend his name recognition and reach new audiences who may be less likely to support Democrats, though some in the party aren't a fan that he's platforming those individuals. During a recent podcast, he said he is against transgender athletes competing in women's events, weighing in on a key culture war issue where Democrats have found themselves at odds with the majority of voters. He has established himself as a leading opponent of Trump in his second term so far, and some Republicans are viewing him as a formidable candidate. But he would enter the general election with some voters viewing him as a California liberal, a criticism Harris struggled to shake in 2024 despite her shift to the center. Former Japan ambassador Rahm Emanuel, whose extensive career in politics also includes titles of U.S. congressman and Chicago mayor, hasn't been viewed as the most likely candidate, but a report from Politico's Jonathan Martin suggests it's an open secret that Emanuel may run. Just as striking is to talk to anybody in high-level Democratic politics who knows Emanuel, which is to say most everyone, and hear how matter-of-fact they are about the inevitability of his candidacy, Martin wrote. The biggest Rahm may run tell, though, is that he's already road-testing the first outlines of a stump speech, or at least an issue he can make his own. Since Harris has lost, Emanuel has been a leading voice calling for the party to embrace a more centrist approach and could appeal to more moderate Democrats. He was floated as a Democratic National Committee chair candidate and has made several media appearances. But his candidacy would do little to excite progressives, with whom he has been at odds throughout his political career. He also may be less exciting for voters looking to a new generation of leadership. He also has not publicly confirmed that he's eyeing a presidential bid. Emanuel told Politico, "I've only been back 2 months. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm not done with public service, and I'm hoping public service is not done with me." Former Vice President Kamala Harris. Whether Harris decides to make another go at the White House is the biggest question looming over the potential field of candidates. A recent survey USA poll of 835 voters who haven't backed Trump, conducted from February 13 to February 16, found that 37% of respondents prefer Harris in 2028. Vice President Kamala Harris has an early lead, but it's unclear whether she plans to run again. On one hand, not all Democrats blame her for the presidential loss to Trump. Some say the race was always going to be difficult to win due to inflation and criticism toward the party dismissing concerns about former President Joe Biden's age. Others, however, argue there are plenty of errors made on the campaign trail from moving forward. Harris hasn't said she plans to run again, and Politico reported early this month that she plans to make a decision about the gubernatorial race by summer's end. Dozens of other Democrats have been named as potential presidential candidates. These hopefuls can differentiate themselves not only through policy, but by embracing broader social components and changes in the information environment, such as how former President Barack Obama harnessed social media in his 2008 campaign, Panagopoulos said. Governors J.B. Pritzker of Illinois, Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, and Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan have been named potential candidates. Like Buttigieg, Whitmer has also turned down the opportunity to run for Senate in her home state. Shapiro and Whitmer both have strong electoral records from battleground states that backed Trump last year, but have less national name recognition. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who was Harris's running mate, has been named a potential candidate as well. He told the New Yorker earlier this month that he would certainly consider a run, but hasn't made anything official. Some progressives are rallying behind Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, but she has not expressed interest in running, and it's unclear whether she'd be able to win support from more moderate Democrats and independents. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear hasn't ruled out a presidential run. He was viewed as a potential VP choice for Harris and has managed to win over Republicans in a solidly conservative state, but he doesn't have quite the same level of national recognition as other potential candidates. Other Democrats want a candidate who hasn't held office, such as businessman Mark Cuban. Cuban, however, has ruled out a bid, Politico reported. Papadopoulos to Newsweek. One of the many considerations for primary voters is electability, and I'm sure that it will be a top consideration in the 2028 race. As much as voters might be looking for specific policy positions, they're also looking for candidates who can go on and win a general election, and that will be primary preoccupation in 2028. There's a lot that can still happen between now and then, including the midterm elections. Brian Brokaw, who managed Harris's campaign for California Attorney General, recently told Politico, I would pretty much guarantee you she, Harris, has no idea what her next move is. She is not someone who makes rash decisions. She takes, sometimes, a painfully long time to make decisions. Could she run for governor? Yes. Do I think she wants to run for governor? Probably not. Could she win? Definitely. Would she like the job? I don't know. Could she run for president again? Yes. Most candidates won't start making official campaign announcements until after the midterms. But it's not unprecedented for hopefuls to jump in early. Businessman Andrew Yang and former Representative John Delaney announced their 2020 campaigns in 2017. The first primary contest will be held in early 2028. It's unclear what the primary schedule will look like. Democrats moved South Carolina, a traditionally conservative state that delivered Biden a game-changing win in 2020, to the front of the schedule. But some Democrats want that change for the next election cycle. And that was the 2028 Democratic field is coming into view by Andrew Stanton, Weekend Staff Writer from Newsweek, their website, published March 13, 2025. All right, so now we've got this one from a website called thetimes.com. Who will lead the Democrats into the 2028 presidential race? Competing factions are jostling for position as Trump's presidency prompts paralysis and division, by David Charter from Washington, for Friday, March 14, 2025. Giving up is not acceptable, Bernie Sanders shouted into the microphone at Lincoln High School in Warren, Michigan, to the delight of a crowd packed into its gymnasium and overflowing into the car park outside. In the absence of any coordinated campaign from a divided and demoralized Democratic Party, 9,000 people turned out for the veteran independent senator's Stop Oligarchy Tour in a district of suburban Detroit that backed President Trump. Let us never forget that real change, the change that we have experienced over hundreds of years of our nationhood, only occurs when ordinary people stand up against oppression and injustice and fight back, Sanders told them. There was applause for his familiar calls for electoral funding reform, universal health care, free college tuition, and a doubling of the minimum wage. But despite his ability to draw a crowd, the 83-year-old Sanders is not going to be the figure who brings the Democrats back from the wilderness. The party hierarchy is still trying to find its feet. Its national body, the Democratic National Committee, has announced its own series of rallies in 9 vulnerable Republican seats, including the Michigan district chosen by Sanders. The People's Town Halls are also a response to an edict from the National Republican Party for members of Congress to curtail their own public meetings after a series of confrontations from constituents angry about federal job and program cuts in scenes that have gone viral on social media. Grassroots Democrats are hoping that this will be the start of a more coordinated response from their party as they watch national figures more eager to compete with each other or establish their brand on social media than directly address voter concerns. There are a lot of folks that are looking for some sort of leadership, said George Chapp, 47, chair of the Democrats in the blue-collar Michigan town of Warren, and one of those who squeezed into Lincoln High. Rallies are nice, Chapp added. Rallies maybe make people feel good, but the changes that are taking place by Republicans and by Trump, they are not having rallies doing this. They're just doing it. So we have to think much differently, act much more creatively than we have in the past. Chapp and other activists told committee how the Republicans began funding outreach to voters in this vital swing state at least 18 months before last year's election. But the funding and direction to fight back did not come, and the party feels as disorganized now as it was then. Everything that's happening right now on the Republican side, that was not done in a vacuum. It's very methodically planned, Chapp said. Our work in opposition and our work in challenging what is happening has to be equally methodical. For his team, that means preparing legal advice on fighting expected cuts to local services, such as support for special educational needs and other public school funding. The fundamental problem for the party not occupying the White House is that its direction is not truly set until it chooses its next presidential candidate, and that is 3 years away. Until then, there will be competing factions and a range of personalities jostling to position themselves. Last year's defeat has reopened the long-standing divide between left-wing progressives and centrist moderates that Joe Biden managed to bridge in the name of defeating Trump and governing with a big tent administration. Both tribes are now riven between those who openly despise and shun Trump while expecting him to fail and those who are prepared to take a more pragmatic approach to win and to winning back support. The most recognizable figures in each camp are the Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for the Uncompromising Progressives, who has announced that she will join Sanders on tour, and J.B. Pritzker, the billionaire governor of Illinois, who has said that going along to get along just doesn't work. Pritzker is said to out solutions that are better than Trump's radical plans in a speech in Washington next week. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, has positioned himself in the vanguard of a pragmatic progressives, while Pete Buttigieg, who is Biden's transportation secretary, and Tim Walz, the Minnesota governor and Kamala Harris's running mate, are prominent among the centrists. Also among pragmatic moderates are the swing state governors Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, and Andy Beshear of Kentucky. All are expected to throw their hats into a crowded ring for the 2028 presidential nomination, along with others who do not fall easily into any category, such as the former Chicago mayor Rahm Emanuel, who was Biden's ambassador to Japan. One senior Democrat whose future is uncertain is Harris, who stepped up unsuccessfully to replace Biden on the 2024 ticket and is understood to be writing a book about our 107-day election odyssey. There's a version of this book that is full of platitudes but safe, and then there's a version that reinvents her to lead the Democratic Party in need of rebuilding, said Keith Urban, head of the literary agency Javelin. She gets a payday either way, but only the latter gets her a second shot at the presidency. In the meantime, it is Newsom, her state governor, who was out of the blocks and seemingly trying to distance himself from his progressive record, inviting the right-wing agitators Charlie Kirk and Steve Bannon onto his new podcast. A lot of criticism directed at Kamala Harris was that she only ran for elected office in California, and that put her in a bubble, which led her to say things like transgender surgery for all transgender prisoners, said Stephen Green, a professor of political science at North Carolina State University. So Gavin Newsom was trying to pivot away from the culture wars, an area where Democrats have been shooting themselves in the foot. In breaking with his party, Newsom agreed with Kirk that it was deeply unfair for transgender athletes to compete in female sports. He also criticized Harris for failing to address her 2019 support for gender reassignment surgery for convicts, which led to the viral Republican election ad, Kamala is for they, them, Trump is for you. It was a good ad, Newsom said. Kirk revealed his verdict on Newsom to Fox News. I say that Newsom wants to be president more than any living person, possibly even every dead person too. The outcry on the left was as strident as it was predictable. There are kids waking up today in California with this news, thinking that their governor hates them, and rightly so, said Pramila Jayapal, leader of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Folks, that'll do it for this edition of Voter Information. Until next time, everybody, happy voting and peace.